Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransom by His shed blood on the cross.
What is your attitude toward the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He gives? Perhaps you have to answer, well, I don't know. I've never really heard any clear message concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is that God saves sinners through Him. Or perhaps your answer is, I don't care. You seem to be indifferent. Well, let me read to you a verse of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. It says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Let him be eternally damned. I know that sounds like a very strong statement, but this is directly from the Word of God, and it reveals the very character and attitude of a holy and a just God towards sinners who give no thought of Christ or think little of Him or rebel against Him. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Over in Psalm chapter 70, in verse 4, the psalmist said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Now, every believer on Christ can truly identify and say with David that we love the salvation that God has abundantly, eternally, and sovereignly given to the poor and needy sinner in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no doubt that everyone is in need of salvation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I find today, dear friend, that few seem to have any real interest. There's no greater sign of the depravity of the heart than this very fact here, that few have any interest at all in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He came to accomplish on this earth and what He did by His righteous life and by His substitutionary death. And the Scriptures warn in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, as I talk to people today, I find, particularly I'm talking about ones who consider themselves religious, I find these three false motives or reasons why people do what they do. See if you don't agree with this. There's so many, first of all, who do what they do to be seen of men. And this is in contrast to a true saving love, God-given love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They do what they do to be seen of men. And our Lord Himself rebuked and warned any in Matthew 6:1, He said, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. How much of religious activity, going to services, giving, prayer, so-called, all of these things are done to be seen of men. God's not in it. if it's to be seen of men, God will not give His glory to another. And secondly, I find that many do what they do out of a notion of receiving some sort of reward or recompense. And again, this is in contrast to a true saving love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if what you're doing is out of this thought that somehow in return I'll receive something, then that thought or that motive is anathema. That is not of God. In Romans 11, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant." And a remnant means a rest, a leftover number, according to the election of grace. If you'll take the time to read the context, you'll see that it's talking about God's eternal electing grace, whereby He has chosen out from all of fallen humanity a people that He has saved through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeemed, and He will bring to a saving knowledge of His Son. And it says, "And if by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, it is no more grace. And if it be of works, then it is no more grace." The scriptures are very clear, dear friend, that no one will be justified before God by their works, the works of the law, works of obedience. So to do anything with the idea that by my doing it, somehow God will recompense me or reward me, that is also a false motive, false notion. And then thirdly, I find a number who do what they do out of a fear of punishment. They say, "Well, I know that I've got to stand before God, and so I better watch what I do." And so out of a fear of punishment, they refrain from doing certain things that they would otherwise do if they did not have a fear of punishment. Well, dear friend, this also is a false motive. Whatever is done out of fear of punishment is not love. Over in 1 John 4, beginning with verse 16, we read, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, in God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ has been made to you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's the gift of God's grace. And so there's no need to stand in fear because, as it says here, as he is, so are we in this world. So are believers in this world. Who is he? Well, he's the Son of God. Well, who's the believer? He's been made the Son of God by adoption, by electing grace, by redemption. And who is he? Well, he's holy. He's just. Well, what is the believer made in the Lord Jesus Christ? He's made righteous, the very righteousness of God. Now, I know that's hard for us to get a hold of, but that's so. One who is in Christ, the very righteousness of Christ has been put to his account. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. And where there is this knowledge of Christ and this understanding of his person and work, it says there's no fear in verse 18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then that great verse in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Do you love God's salvation? Do you love God's Son? Well, this is my subject in this message today. I want to give you in a few moments 5 reasons why I love God's salvation, why I believe every believer on Christ, one who's been made so by God Himself, not just a professor, not just a religionist, but a true child of God, why he loves God's salvation. Please stay tuned.
Come, you see.
Why does the true believer love the salvation of God? This is the question that I want to endeavor to answer during the time remaining. David said in Psalm 70 and verse 4, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Well, here are 5 reasons taken from Scripture why true believers love God's salvation. First of all, we love God's salvation because of the person that it exalts. In other words, the whole of salvation is summed up in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He's the sum, the substance, in the very subject matter of the gospel. Here in 1 John 5, in verse 10 through 12, I don't believe you can find any clearer definition of what faith is than to know the Lord Jesus Christ, have Him revealed. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." None would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and as the Redeemer, the Savior, unless God has first put this witness within him. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. I'm not asking you how you feel about the Lord Jesus Christ or what you say you've experienced. But the question is, what does God Himself say? What's the record as revealed in the inspired Word of God? What is that record that God has given of His Son? Now, if you believe friends and others who tell you things, why on earth would you not take God at His Word? I talk to so many who say they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and yet I find them kicking up their heels against the God of the Bible, the one who has revealed His Word. Well, here's the record, 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not just that Christ gives life. He is life. And eternal life is not some hope-so hope for a paradise or pie in the sky by and by. No, to know Him is life eternal. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, that's why believers love God's salvation, because salvation is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in the Song of Solomon, He is altogether lovely. Salvation is not in a profession. It's not in a place or a position that you might be standing or kneeling in. No. But rather in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who does not love this salvation, as it's revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's made to be the wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption of the believer. And any who do not love this salvation, the only conclusion is that he must be a lover of himself. And being a lover of himself, a hater of the God of all grace. But those who love God's salvation do say, let God be magnified. And so that's the first reason why believers love God's salvation. It's because salvation is in, through, by, and unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Redeemer, the Mediator between God and His people. Here's a second reason why I believe that God's people, believers, love God's salvation. It's because of the completeness of it. Now, before I learned the gospel, I grew up in a congregation and an organization that said that it believed in grace, and yet I found that much of what was taught was dependent upon my completing what God had supposedly started. Now, there are many who say, well, you know, it's true, we're saved by grace, but, and that little but, they then begin to add certain things, a ceremony or a certain requirement that must be added to that grace. Well, dear friend, if that's the case, then it's not grace. The grace of God brings salvation to the sinner through a Savior who has accomplished it perfectly, wholly. Over here in Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments or elements of this world, but not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, ye are complete in Him. Any who are in the Lord Jesus Christ are complete. That means all that is necessary for the sinner to have that perfect standing before God and fellowship and communion with Him is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing remains unfinished or lacking. God's salvation is not waiting upon the sinner to add something to make it complete or effectual, like so many that I know today that say, well, I believe that Christ died for everybody, but now it's up to each individual to believe in order to make it effectual. And so what you've got is the blood of Christ being shed in vain for so many who walk on in unbelief and indifference. Dear friend, this is not the gospel. The gospel is what we find all the way back, even in Genesis, as Abraham took his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah, where he was told by God to offer him up. And Isaac began to question his father and say, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went, both of them, together. That statement right there is the sum of the gospel. God will provide Himself a lamb. This is of God. And that lamb is none other than His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it says God will provide Himself a lamb. It's God who does the providing. God is the one who's been offended by His holiness and by man's sin. He's the offended person, the offended party. And yet now He's the one who provides. And the word provide means to supply completely all that's necessary to reconcile to Himself the sinner that He's purposed to save. And then thirdly, it says God will provide Himself a lamb. I like that. Himself. In other words, that lamb which was prophesied here, typified through the ram that God provided to take Isaac's place, that was none other than God in the flesh. God will provide Himself a lamb. In order to be a Savior, He had to be God Himself. And so, I love God's salvation because of the completeness of it. Sin has been put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption is accomplished, and righteousness is established, and reconciliation is achieved through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, God's people love God's salvation because of the sureness of it. All these things being so, the salvation of God is sure. In Romans 4:16, we read, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So it's saying there that this isn't only true for the Jew, but to any that are believers in Christ by the grace of God, Abraham himself being the example. The believer runs no risk when he trusts the eternal welfare of his soul upon Jesus Christ, the righteous, because that is the only true and safe salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives eternal life to all those who believe on His name. And they believe because He's the one who has worked it in Him. Then, fourthly, the believer loves God's salvation because of how God's pleased to bring it, the method of it. The whole of salvation from beginning to end is devised and implemented and executed by God Almighty. Over here in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This is the way of salvation. This is God's way. This is the way of sovereign grace. It's through the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming to this earth, satisfied all of the righteous demands of God's justice, and He supplies every need for the guilty sinner for whom He has died. That's good news, and that's why I love God's salvation. Here in Philippians 4 and verse 19, we read, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." A lot of people read that just talking about physical needs, and there's no question but what God supplies our physical and temporal needs day by day. But here, the supply of our need is primarily spiritual. My greatest need is to love God. It's to trust Christ. It's to follow Him in obedience. And I know in and of myself, I have no strength to do so, but my God shall supply all your need. How? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's why I love God's salvation, because from beginning to end, it is of God. And then finally, number 5, God's people love God's salvation because of the experience of it in the heart. And I just want to dwell on that in these closing moments. Experience in and of itself is not salvation. I hear so many talking about some sort of experience that they had, but as you listen, you find that it has nothing to do with the Word of God and has nothing to do with the love of Christ, the person of Christ. It's all self-centered. Someone made a profession because they were feeling a little down or guilty, and so they decided to go ahead and profess the Christ that was preached to them. Friends, experience in of itself is not salvation, but I can assure you this, that where God has been pleased to work a work of grace in the heart of any sinner, he'll know the experience of that grace in his heart. Salvation is just not an intellectual thing to get a hold of or a crutch to lean on from time to time. This salvation is not only a perfect work accomplished for the believer by Christ's justifying sacrifice, but it's also the very work of God, the Holy Spirit, revealing Christ to the sinner's heart. Salvation that is revealed in Scripture is an experience of the grace of God revealing Christ to the heart. Paul wrote to the Philippians, saying, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you love God's salvation? I want to close with the words from this great ancient hymn. "I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of Thee. I find, I walk, I love, but oh, the whole of love is but my answer, Lord, to Thee. For Thou wert long beforehand with my soul, always Thou lovest me." This is the blessed hope and comfort of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it your hope?
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast, brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. Please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org. You may also contact us directly by calling 318-687-4943 or through email to pastor@shrevegrace.org. www.abounding.org. Join us next week right here at this same hour.